I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the duck. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I'm so glad you could join me for this show today. We're having a show in spite of it all. Yes, there's much happening, and not all of it necessarily good. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Right now, I want to tell you that we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes. So, it's like this. What's it like, Dr. Bill? Well, it's like this. I'm not going to have, if Fred will work with me here, which he rarely does, I'm not going to have a Geek Software of the Week drum roll. I know you're shocked. You're shocked and perplexed. But the reason is I'm starting off with the Geek Software of the Week. It's just that good. This is not one of those Geek Software of the Weeks where I thought, let's try to find something. We'll throw something out there. No, this Geek Software of the Week was a need. I'm trying to show desperation. Need that I had for a new WAMP server. You say, what is a WAMP server, Dr. Bill? Well, if you're in the know, you know that normally I would run a LAMP server. Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. That would be LAMP. Now, if you take the Linux out of the equation, which I know that's hard to imagine that I would do that, but let's just go with me here and put it on Windows, then it becomes a WAMP server. Windows, Apache, MySQL, PHP. You say, Dr. Bill, why in the world? What would possess you to run a WAMP server? Well, believe it or not, Windows is still a viable operating system. I know that shocks a lot of you, and it should. But in fact, it is true. And I do run Windows as well as Linux. And in this particular case, I needed to run some software that was Windows-based software, see, on the same server that I would run Apache and PHP. MySQL I really didn't need, but that's neither here nor there, okay? Just didn't need it for this particular application. But this server in question, the server upon which I am speaking about, that is a very real and very necessary production server in my environment. I host radio stations. I have Word of Faith Radio. I have Word of Faith Radio, the Healing Station. I have Praying for You Radio, and I have the Life Train. Both of those last two are Chucky Daniel, my good buddy's radio stations. All four of those stations come right out of this house to the world, and they go through a gateway server. Now, it's kind of weird. I call it a gateway server because it is, in fact, the gateway into all the radio stations. But initially, it was because it ran on a gateway brand PC back in the day. I have since retired that box and thrown it away. It went from that box to a virtual machine running under VirtualBox for Linux. Okay. And then recently, I transferred it to an Intel NUC. A NUC, of course, being NUC, Network Unit of Computing. Okay, so it's a small little box that I use for the platform upon which I put Windows, upon which there is now Apache and PHP running the gateway to the radio stations to the rest of the world. Are you following me? Good. Give yourself a point. Okay, so I needed a reliable WAMP server. And I was using a product from an open source project called the WAMP server. Duh! I've been using that since about 2009, 2010 timeframe. So quite a few years I've been using WAMP server. I tried, as I am wont to do, to upgrade that software, and it broke everything. Okay? That can happen, particularly with PHP. Just can happen, believe me. So, I came back to the older version, and I kept running it. Well, that's not very secure, to run an old version of any software for that length of time. So, I wanted to get an upgraded, newer, hopefully nicer, more behaved version of a WAMP stack. Okay? So, this is where, you say, finally, this is where the Geek Software of the Week comes in. This is what I found. It's called Uniform Server. Uniform Server. Not because it's wearing a uniform and saluting. Although that would be fine. But no, that's not the reason. It's uniform in its operation. You got to do the hand thing in order for that to work. But Uniform Server. Now, here's the thing. Uniform Server is a WAMP server, very small. It's very solid. This is what I say about it in my article here. The key features for Uniform Server are comprehensive security. All applications, all the pieces and parts of the WAMP server are set to the highest security settings, which is good. It assumes a live production server, which is good. It can be mobile, meaning you can run it right off of a USB stick. You don't have to install it under Windows. It doesn't touch the registry. It just runs as an application. That's a positive. I like that. It doesn't monkey around with Windows and mess things up. Updates are rolled out with the latest release of each application within the stack. So as a new version of PHP comes out, they update it. As a new version of Apache comes out, they update it. That's cool. So you got the latest release of each application and component. And then settings can easily be changed to manage the server. Logs are available that are preset, both for the access log, for the web services, and the error logs. Those are preset. And there is great help and support via the community for Uniform Server via a forum on their website. So good stuff. Now this is an open source project. It is free, therefore, and excellent. I like it a lot. It has a very clean, very simple interface. Can't say enough about it. I really like it. So I encourage you, if you are in need of a WAMP server, some of you are going, what? Then you need this Geek Software of the Week. I certainly did. And I'm a geek that needed software. So it works. Okay. Anyway, next item. Next item is the DrBillBailey.net Netcast Roku channel, which I haven't said a lot about in a long time. But in fact, we have a Roku channel specifically for the shows that are part of the DrBillBailey.net Zeitgeist. Okay, so you can subscribe to that through Roku. As a matter of fact, there's a link on the right-hand column of the DrBill.tv website, which is, of course, DrBill.tv, as it says there on the screen. You can go there, look to the right-hand side, and you can see the little gray box that is the click on it to subscribe to the Dr. Bill Roku channel. Of course, you have to have a Roku, okay? And you have to subscribe using your account on Roku, and then you will be able to use the Roku channel. Yes. Now, here's the thing. Roku did it. This is where I said I got a little frustrated by all the goings-on earlier in the show as I was talking about it. Okay? And that is that Roku changed all of their procedures and processes for getting channels approved when you make changes. And they are requiring you to rewrite your channel to some new standards. Well, they're not new, actually. They're new to me. I had to relearn some stuff. But they've been around since 2016, so hey, they're not that new. But I had to get in there and dig in and learn to rewrite the channel with the new code, which was no fun, I must tell you, but it had to be done. But I was able to do that. I was able to get it to compile and work and operate together with zero warnings and zero errors. Gotta love that. So that was a good thing. Now I then submitted it to Roku, and Roku kind of went, yeah, well, we want you to look at this, and we want you to look at that, and why don't you check this out? And I'm like, just approve the channel. So they haven't approved it yet. So it's still the old version, what I call the purple screen version. You'll know if you go look at it why I say that. And the new modern cool channel is coming once they approve it. Hopefully they'll approve it the next week or so. I hope so. I feel like I've been struggling with this for weeks. Because I've been struggling with it for weeks. At any rate, have you had problems with your Chromecast lately? I'm a big fan of Chromecast. That's the Google device, which you see here, shown over my shoulder. That little device hooks up to your TV, and you can cast to it from your computer. And I use it all the time. I use it for lots of stuff. Okay, but lately it went wonky and quit working for a brief period, and I was a little annoyed by that. Well, apparently others were annoyed as well. There was an outage reported by SlashGear that they reported a few days ago, and it says Chromecast users experienced an outage today that left them unable to use their devices. I saw that. Google Home smart speakers warned impacted users there was a glitch, advising them to try again. When the user tried again, though, nothing good happened, right? Comcast devices, meanwhile, failed to stream content to displays. Okay, that's bad. So apparently they fixed the glitch, as they called it, and they wanted you to reboot your Chromecast. Now, for a lot of folks, that means just unplugging it and plugging it back in. That works. However, there is a way to use your smartphone, which I have laying around here somewhere, to go into the Google Home app and then go through some menu commands, select devices, find your Chromecast, tap the triple dot menu in the upper right-hand corner, choose settings. Once you're in settings, tap more and then reboot. And the device will reboot itself without having to be unplugged, which means you don't have to monkey around behind your TV and try to pull cables, which is always annoying. So I recommend doing it that way. That's the way I did it. But once I rebooted it, life was good. And I could use my Chromecast again. I really like the Chromecast. Don't get me wrong. It's a little annoying that we had this little glitch. But glitches are glitches. They can happen. Okay? So, kudos to Google for their Chromecast. Next item. This one you're not going to believe. I don't have it handy because I'm using the SD card in my camera to shoot this show. So, I can't hold an SD card and say, look at the little bitty SD card. Maybe I can. Hold on. I have here a thing I got for Christmas. This thing. Which is a thing that you could put your SD cards in to hold them. I like that. And I can keep it handy right here beside my chair. And now I can hold a 32 gigabyte SD card. Nice little SD card. See? SD card. I know lots of you are going, so? Here's why this is so cool. This little bitty SD card, they come up with a new standard for SD cards. You're not going to believe this. Where an SD card with this new standard, once they get it out, it's not out yet, will hold 128, now listen, terabytes of data. Now, this is a 32 gig, okay? So, 1,024 gig should make this card infinitesimally smaller, would be 1 terabyte. Now, let's just think about that. 128 terabytes on an SD card. That's more data than most computer centers. Our computer center, where I used to work back in the day at High Point Regional, which is a hospital with lots of patients, 400 some patients, and doctors and nurses and staff and 2,200 employees. We had way less than 128 terabytes of data in our whole data center. And you could put 128 terabytes on an SD card. Okay, your mind has been blown. Mine certainly was. Now, it's obviously going to be very expensive when they finally do come out with it. But dude, think about this. 128 terabytes on an SD card. Wow. Now, the biggest SD card that is currently in production right now is 512 gigabytes. Okay? Much, much less in terms of space. And it will be faster. 128 terabytes, but it will be faster. Wow. Okay, next item. This is cool. I have in my hand a thing. This is a thing. Now, what it is a Bluetooth headset. See, the little wire goes between the two ear things, but other than that, it's wireless. It doesn't connect to your device except through Bluetooth. Okay, but it's got these little thingies here that stick out like little horns. Okay, but here's how it works. I'll show you. You put it in your ear, and you put the little horn thing up in the fleshy part of the ear here, and then you can do the same with this ear. How cool is that? And then this hangs here around your neck. But this thing is unbelievably cool. It really blocks the sound well. I don't know, I guess because it's holding it in there so well. Plus, it has noise cancellation technology, which is cool. And if you're done with it, little magnets hold it together. How cool is that? So you can wear it around your neck, and it would hold together and not run away from you. That's cool. Your tech will not leave you in the dust. And it's got like volume controls over here and a place where you can plug it in and charge it. And it's got a microphone built in so you can talk to people on your mobile phone. I just really like this little thing. And it was only $19. I mean, that's really cool. Off of Amazon. I have the link in the blog, the aforementioned drbill.tv, drbill.tv. If you go and check this out, I don't get any kickback from Taltronics, the people that make this, but I am just really impressed that they can make a noise-canceling Bluetooth 4.2, Bluetooth ear headset thing that is so cheap. But the quality, dude, I'm telling you, the quality is just so good. The basses are so deep and rich, and the highs are crisp, and whoa! I tell you, I listen to music on this, and I'd rather listen to music on this than I would my sound system. That's That's impressive. You got to admit. So this is really cool. I would encourage you to get this. And it comes with extra little things here for different ear sizes. I didn't even open this up because the regular one was fine for me. And other little things, I guess you call them horns. I don't know what they are. Little things that hold them in your ear. Extra of those. Then you get a little friendly hello packet that says hello. Yes! With instructions! Actual instructions that actually work. I know this sounds silly, but I'm just so impressed with this thing. And it comes in a cute little box. Isn't that cute? This little box. It actually has, where's all the pieces, parts? Oh, here we go. It has a little bag, a little black bag, that has a thing you can tighten up here to seal it. And it has even a little cute white plastic bag that is fairly useless, but it looks really impressively cool when you open it. It looks very high-end. I don't know why. I'm just easily impressed. But anyway, you really got to get one of these. I'm not like selling them, or I don't get a kickback for it. But it's like, isn't that a neat little box? Look at this box. Isn't that cool? And it just, you open the little box, and then inside is another little box, and that's where you put all your stuff. So I just like it. I'm really impressed. And like I said, I know I'm probably just really easily impressed. I'm putting it all back together here. And then I will close this part of the box, and then this part of the box to seal it all back up. Taltronics. Foreign company, I don't know, China, I'm sure. Is it China? I'm sure it is. Made in China. But you gotta love it. For that amount of money to be able to do something that cool, give them a thumbs up on that. So, on the blog, I have instructions how to put it in your ear properly and the high quality sound and all the other good stuff about it. Next item! I know some of you are going, Dr. Bill, what is this? Sometimes things just impress me, and I want to share them with you. Okay. Next item. Linux Mint is like my favorite Linux for devices for, you know, like non-servery devices. Although I must admit, I'm currently running Linux Mint for my Linux server that is running the radio stations, okay? So, full disclosure, matter of fact, it is the Linux Mint interface of Linux Mint called Mate that I have announced here that the new version of Linux Mate is out. It's called Tara, or Tara, T-A-R-A. It is Linux Mint 19. This is the long-term support version. It'll be supported until 2023. Has updated software, it brings refinements, it has new features, makes your desktop even more comfortable to use. Just lots of good stuff. If you haven't tried Linux Mint, this is the one you need to try. Now, they also have the Cinnamon interface as well as the Mate interface. They also have the XFCE interface. Several different interfaces you could get for Linux Mint. Whichever one is your preference, go for it. I like Cinnamon and I like Mate, either one. But the Mate one is the one that I used for the Linux server that I have over in the next room behind me where it runs all the radio stations. And it just runs them. It never goes down. You know, I mean, I think it rebooted. I rebooted it for the first time in like 6 to 8 months just yesterday to do an upgrade. So it just keeps running. Next and final item for this week. Google is coming out with a game platform. This is a rumor. Hasn't been officially substantiated. But over the past few months, there have been wild rumors in the video game industry, which they are wont to do that, which have involved the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox 2. But the most interesting chatter has centered on Google, who are tackling video games in a big way. by coming out with this new, potentially new platform that will be streaming, a streaming platform, some sort of hardware to go with it, and an attempt to bring game developers together, either buying out game companies or having something that will attract gamer developers to their platform. And we'll see how that goes. I talked to the Game Master about this, to which he said, meh. That was pretty much his take on it. He didn't care. I figure a lot of gamers probably won't care unless it takes over the world, which is unlikely, I'll admit. But, I mean, all platforms are diminishing right now in terms of popularity to a certain degree, with the possible exception of the Switch. But it's Google. I mean, Google. So they're big enough, powerful enough, maybe they will pull this off. And if they do, will give us more competition in the gaming arena, which is always a good thing. I'm for that. So who knows? We'll see. Stay tuned, as they say. And we'll find out whether they actually come out with something worthwhile. Splendid and worthwhile. To quote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yes. So, that'll do it for this week. Remember until next time that the Doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.